Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Butler topside through a series of screens gets Nas Reed. Crossover dribble, chest pass to Heald. He's open for three. Bang! Buddy Love! Another big bucket for Buddy Love. And the Warriors back up by 12. He's got 24 points.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Right point. Slavin with a chance to score! They score! In overtime! Jacob Slavin lets it go from the point! And Carolina has taken game number one here in Washington.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
4 seconds to go. Halliburton for three. Three ball up top. Indiana by one. 1:10 seconds to go. Inbound. Merrill didn't get it off. And this rivals the Milwaukee finish.
You have got to be kidding me.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Live on YouTube, the Odyssey app, 1080 AM at 9:01 AM.
What is happening?
Good morning.
You got your nice little work computer update yesterday. Seems like it's functioning well.
Yeah.
Everything's working properly.
Eastern time zone now.
Eastern. Hey, this is great.
Show's over.
Hey, all right. Hey, coming up tomorrow. What do you guys want to get to tomorrow? We talk about the games tonight. It's going to be a great little show. See you on Thursday.
It's always encouraging when you get these updates, these laptop updates. We got these big company, mandates. Hey, you got to update everything. So I did it yesterday. I picked it up this morning. Had no laptop yesterday, which I felt naked.
Yeah, you do feel naked without the computer in your hands.
And I picked it up, opened it up, and Eastern time zone. Okay, let's change that. Nope, you're not an admin. You can't do it.
You don't have the ability to do that.
It's my laptop.
Who do you think you are?
What am I supposed to do here?
You have no authority around here to go around changing times on a laptop.
Mm.
Come on, man.
Not great. I felt really bad for Canada's very own Alexander Ovechkin yesterday, losing at home in the playoffs.
Canada's very own Alexander Ovechkin had a tough home loss in game one of the second round of the series.
That's brutal.
That's brutal for a Canadian legend and a Canadian hero.
They must have been so sad to watch him lose yesterday.
He's going to go into the Canada Hall of Fame, I'd imagine, at this point, because he's Canadian and he's an incredible hockey player. And so when you're an incredible hockey player from Canada, you go into the Canadian Hall of Fame. That's what happens.
Oh, devastating. Just devastating.
Dude, I was one goal away from hitting the Tuesday parlay of the day. I was feeling great.
How many legs on that thing?
There was four legs. So I had Pacers plus 7.5, yep. I think was the line. Whatever, doesn't matter. They won the game.
Yep.
I had Hurricanes money line on the road.
There you go.
They came back and won in overtime. I had the Warriors plus whatever their points were. They won the game outright. And I had the over of 6.5
in
Edmonton and ended at 6. They had 90 seconds or so at the end of the game with an empty net, and it was 4-2. And I'm like, dude, I just need a net. Just give me one. Give me one empty net goal. And they couldn't find a way to do it.
I just love that the hockey and the basketball has kind of made you back into a football level degenerate.
I mean, it's
again fun.
Every day you just put a little bit of action on a 4-game parlay. It's fun. You don't win many of them, but when you do, it makes it all worth it, man.
I will tell you, I had basketball practice yesterday. And if there's one thing I've learned about being a youth basketball coach,
yes,
is that I can always go home. I cannot feel amazing about me as a coach.
Right.
But then I can turn my TV on and I can see that an NBA coach of the year struggles to get his team to even properly inbound the ball.
Yeah, it makes you feel a little bit better,
doesn't
it?
Made me feel so much better.
That's the way I feel as a golfer whenever you turn on a tournament at any level and you see somebody shank a shot or, like, you know, duff a chip or barely hit a putt. It's like when you see somebody hit a shot that you hit on a random Tuesday afternoon when it's 80 degrees and you want to go play golf, it makes you feel so much better about, like, that guy is one of the best in the world. And he just did something that I do like seven times around.
You feel, yeah, you feel like Leo.
Hey, that's me. I know I've hit that shot before. I know that feeling. You just duffed a chip. I know how that goes. It does. It makes you feel it more. It, you know, when you see them be human, it makes you feel great. I couldn't believe that ending. And I feel like I do this a lot, especially this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely a moment to be thankful for and say, thank God for YouTube TV for two different reasons. One, the split screen this time of year is clutch. Like, I don't have the ability, and I'm, like, watching a kid, I don't have three screens going at the same time. So it gives you the ability to watch both.
Okay.
Whenever you're out and you don't have the chance, like you, for example, you're at basketball practice last night.
Right.
Cavs-Pacers was one of the craziest endings I've ever seen in an NBA playoff game.
Yep.
Like, just, what is that? I texted you guys first, and nobody was responding, so it was nice. Shoe was on the other foot because you were at practice, and Swag was, of course, working. And I was worried they weren't going to cover the spread with like a minute to go. It was like a 7-point game. I'm like, they're not going to
if they don't hit that three. And like, you're
dude,
like, yep, there it
is. How dare you be this close the entire game and you're not going to cover the number? What the hell, Indiana? Let alone, I didn't think they were going to outright win. But if you just DVR or record a game, mm-hmm. you have the ability to go back and just watch the key plays, and it'll show you everything that you need to know in like a little 7-minute chunk highlight video. And it's just, it's fantastic. I was on a walk in the park watching the end of that game on my phone yelling as people are looking at me like, what's this weirdo yelling about? Like, you don't understand. The Cavs can't inbound a ball right now. I'm kind of freaking out. This is wild.
There's no doubt. And I do love that the multi-view option is there. I also, I realized that I left not that far away from that collapse.
So then you come back and you turn it on. It's like resume from last watch.
Yeah, basically was that situation.
Dude,
and
perfect.
Then I just fast forwarded through free throws and commercials.
Yeah, you jump up and boom, there you are. You're at the end of the game.
I was worried I was going to be going to bed at like 11:30 last night because I was going to miss the first half of the Wolves game. Yeah,
you're trying to catch up on everything.
But then thankfully, like I went back, I sped through that, and then I sped right through the end of that Pacer game. So I didn't end up going to bed too late. But
first half of Golden State Minnesota, you didn't miss squat.
The one thing I would say about that, though,
when
is
they score 11 points in the second quarter.
My DVR is weird. I have every playoff game programmed to record.
Yes, automatically.
But if I go to the library at the standard page and I go, like, most recent, nothing pops up except, like, old NFL games.
That's a little weird. That's a little strange.
But if I type the team name in, boom.
Then it shows up.
Yeah, it's really odd. It's you just recorded that 20 minutes ago. Why is that not in the new recording?
Should be in the most recent recording. This should be a simple fix right here.
Yeah.
Well, first world problems. There you go.
I know.
At least we caught up. Hell of a night last night.
It was a hell of a night. It was a great night.
How'd practice go? We feeling good about the squad?
You know, I don't know. When you coach, like, you just question everything you're doing, and then if they don't do something properly, you're like, I'm terrible. I don't know how to convey messages.
Is this my fault? Why can't they pick up what I'm trying to put down here?
We got our second tournament this weekend, and we signed up for a certain level, and I don't even know if we'll play that level. We might play better level. I don't know. The girls are great. Their attitudes are great.
They're
work
having fun,
hard.
Right? They're out hooping in the spring.
But I'm like, yo, we've practiced this 80 times. Why are we not doing this?
We've gone through this a ton.
And I just question everything every single day. I'm not a serious coach in any way.
Yeah.
I don't get paid for this. Nothing matters. Like, if I lose, nothing's going to happen to me.
You're doing it for fun and for love.
And I'm spending all of my available minutes when I'm not doing show stuff just like, oh, how do I make a better? Oh, are we going to lose?
You're drawing up plays on napkins, pick and roll plays.
You can't really do that. No, it's tournament ball. You don't really do plays.
You just kind of go out there, roll it out. Pick and roll. Just go do something. Move.
Yes.
Set a screen.
Well, the tournament thing, it was an interesting experience because you just see so many different parents. The parents of these things. Like, uber serious.
Yeah.
One parent had like a full menu of food. Like, it's time for you to eat this. You got to get your carbs, your proteins right now. And then the second game, it was like, all right, now you're going to go a little lighter. We're going to do a little protein here. And it's just like Some of these parents are pros.
What are they running, an ultra marathon here? They're playing basketball games.
They kind of get it.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing.
Like, come on, what are you?
So I don't know. It's Mother's Day weekend. I'm getting my wife a gift. I got her two gifts. But she's not excited about them because I'm a terrible gift giver.
Yeah, she knows you're going to fall short.
So that's Sunday, and then Saturday is just like two basketball games.
Just basketball all day.
It's basketball.
We're having fun.
It's basketball.
Sounds like you're having a great time. Things are going wonderful. The idea of coaching young kids when you've done a sport for a long time and you know the ins and outs, and it's clearly knowledge in your head about how to do things and handle situations, and trying to impart that on them would be very frustrating.
Yeah.
Because there's the feeling of like, why don't you get it? This isn't that complicated. Like, how do you not pick this up? How do you not understand this? And you have to remind yourself, like, I'm a little bit older. I've been doing this for a long time.
Well, and then my daughter will let me know because, you know, I'm the dad and she's the kid and she's playing. And she'll be like, you know, I feel like when you do this as the coach, this is how it translates to us.
You're getting the critique at home on the way back from practice.
Yeah, I give her a note, and then somehow I'm getting a note back too.
You know, Dad, you're gonna have to work on this. Okay, your whistles are a little too aggressive.
You rolled your eyes when we didn't run something right. Like, it's frustrating.
Yeah, you should start clapping your hands, slamming the floor, pick up the tempo. What are we doing?
I'm somewhere between JJ Redick as a coach.
Okay.
And whoever you would classify as the most calm-mannered coach.
Ooh, who would be the most calm-mannered coach in the NBA?
I don't know who that would be. Maybe Scott Ruick. I don't feel like I watch Scott Ruick get animated much at his team.
Doesn't yell a ton.
He'll yell at the refs once in a while.
Yeah.
But I'm somewhere between J.J. Redick and Scott Ruick in terms of temperament as a coach.
I always felt like Terry Stotts was kind of that way during his time in Portland.
That's a good one.
He seemed pretty laid back.
Yelled at a coach or yelled at the refs, but he didn't yell at his players all that much.
Yell at Nurkic because he sucked. He would holler at Myers.
Famously hated Myers Leonard.
Like, what are you doing? Same thing. I've been teaching this. You've been here for 5 years, man. You're an NBA player. How have you not picked this up yet? This isn't that complicated.
But sometimes I want to call a timeout and just scream, like, what are you guys doing? Nothing we've worked on.
Can you get away with that now in coaching? Because that was the way my youth basketball coach was. He hollered at us all the time.
I feel like you can do
running gassers, screaming at the top of his lungs. I'm like, I'm in third grade, man.
I feel like you could do it in a more constructive way with the kids. You don't have to be quite as mean about it.
You don't have to scream. I remember a Pop Warner football coach, we used to do the little leg raisers, whatever you call those, when you're laying on your back and you lift your legs up.
Those were surprisingly hard in football gear.
They were incredibly hard in football gear.
Because I was a weak core. I was a little skinny, scrawny kid with no muscle.
You're in sixth grade, man.
Can't lift my legs up.
And it's like 100 degrees in August. And you're like, why am I doing this? I don't play for the Cleveland Browns. And he'd walk around and like stand on our stomachs while we would do it. Like, how is this allowed? Yeah, it was a thing, man.
Like 1 foot stand up?
Yeah, I mean, not full weight, not jumping on your stomach, but he'd get, you know, we're working out our abs. Let's see how hard they are. Like, dude, I am 9 years old right now. I don't think I have abs.
It's really funny to think about different coaches I had as a kid, because I had some good coaches, some, you know, good temperament coaches.
Oh, for sure. You always remember the great ones.
Also had a lot of red asses.
Yeah.
And you just look back now as a child and you went, man, you really needed therapy so bad.
You needed a little bit of that.
But instead, you went to football practice and you grabbed us by our face masks and you threw us to the ground as if we weren't children.
That's how you took all of your anger issues out.
Yeah, basically,
on seventh graders who weren't properly running a toss sweep play. Why did you pull?
Little Timmy here, he's going to stand at the 5-yard line. You go at the goal line. Timmy's going to start running. When Timmy runs, you guys are all going to gang tackle him. What's the point of this drill?
Well,
Timmy missed his blocking assignment. Seems like Timmy's going to get hurt, coach.
I mean, saying you're half J.J. Redick, half Mike Riley.
Yeah, that you, go, you know what? That's
if you allow
great
a different
one.
Sport, Mike Riley is the most laid-back coach of all time.
Now, Riley could get intense at moments. I saw it in glimpses.
Really nice guy. Do you know that?
Buddy, it was always like a, watchy Willikers, Sean Mannion.
What are you doing, Sean?
You got to throw the out a little quicker than that. That was mad
I
Mike
still
Riley.
Love you, buddy. You're a great kid.
I think that's a perfect comp. I think I'm wedged between mentally.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm acting like J.J. Redick.
Sure.
But realistically, if you saw me, I'd be more Mike Riley.
All right.
All right.
Let's have a good practice today, girls.
Yes.
Let's work hard, okay?
On the baseline.
All right. Time to get going now.
That's a great comp. That's exactly who I am.
We need to get Mike Riley to one of your basketball games. What's Mike Riley up to these days? Is he still coaching in that random football league?
I don't know if he's... No, he's not in that league.
Not in that league anymore?
I think he's just, you know...
Being Mike Riley?
Lost his wife recently, yeah. So I think he's just living his Corvallis life, just paying attention out to his kids league, and grandkids.
Well, the two leagues morphed into one. Mm.
They did?
Yeah. There were two spring leagues there. So there's not there.
Is it the AFL?
It's the UFL.
What about the X-League? Or
Yeah, that all merged together. What's the one The Rock did?
That was X... Yeah.
There was the XFL and the USFL, and they merged, and I think there's just one spring league now, the UFL.
I didn't know the UFL and the XFL had sex, and now they've got a baby.
They got a baby.
Yeah.
Spring football.
How's that going?
Sometimes I'll randomly...
It's going on right now. How much you watching?
I have sometimes occasionally will have like something will be on Fox, and then I'll turn my TV off, and then you go back later in the day and it's like the channel that you were on last, and I'll be like, what is this?
Yeah.
And you randomly stumble upon it, and then I change the channel as fast as humanly possible.
It is it's gone down in ratings substantially this season.
Even though Fox and ESPN are airing the games.
They're on network. I mean, it's on big time sports networks.
If you're watching ESPN baseball, you'll usually get a promo for it coming up. Look,
stumble on a game.
There's a lot of things we should be embarrassed about as citizens of our fine nation. I don't know if anything tops knowing the UFL is getting 600,000 people to watch those games.
600,000.
What is wrong with you people?
600,000.
Rewatch tape of your highlight, you know, glory, or go watch old college football.
Watch old college football. Go to the NFL Network. They're
Why would you watch
old
that league?
I don't know.
I got nothing for
the
you.
The Dominators.
I don't know.
The Skyhawks.
The Gay Stallions.
I got nothing for you. That would be a hell of a name,
dude,
though.
Like a badass looking stallion with like a rainbow mane.
A rainbow mane. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That would be a hell of a
Who'd
name.
Who'd you lose? The Gay Stallions beat us
today.
Dude,
you want to make a lot of money in merch sales? That's going to make a lot of money in merch sales.
Hell yeah, it would.
Like the Eugene Emeralds, remember they did their exploding whales for a week?
Yeah, that
they
was
made
a good
like
idea.
A million. John Oliver did a shout out for him a week or two ago. They made like $1 million extra in revenue sales because everybody wanted to go buy exploding whale hats and T-shirts.
The Birmingham Stallions.
Dude, could you imagine Birmingham's reaction if you called them the Gay Stallions?
I don't know if 600,000 people in Birmingham are watching that game anymore. I think they might turn that one off.
How would Alabama respond to having a team?
The hell's this?
The Gay Stallion.
I'm not watching that team. I'm out. That's the breaking point for spring football. That's a bridge too far.
Is that where you...
That's, I mean, come on.
In Alabama?
Yeah, you can't do that. We're all in on spring football until you go that way.
You know, the Bible says... What does it say about stallions? Enlighten me, Bob.
What book is that in? I didn't read that one.
All right, well, let's get it going. We got a lot to get to today. There's a lot on the plate. Got a lot of stats. Got a stat story Wednesday.
Ooh.
I got an interesting stat I want to start the next segment with you, and it involves what happened last night. So we'll start there. Dirt and Sprague, it is good to be with you. We get going next on The Fan.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Start the Wednesday show with something from yesterday. So Indiana comes back at the end and beats Cleveland in one of the crazier sports endings, not just basketball, sports.
Doesn't make sense. I still haven't been able to process how that happened.
Well, we talked about it on our Great Notion pregame today about how nuts the basketball was last night.
And we knew it was crazy because it was wild, and we set it up on the show today.
I want to ask you this trivia question. Oh. Can you name the last NBA coach of the year to win the NBA championship? Kenny Atkinson just won this award.
The last time the coach of the year won the NBA championship. Mm-hmm. Buddy,
it's one of those weird awards that goes to the usual overachieving coach,
similar to the NFL, where it's like, yeah, you know,
hey, we didn't expect you to be good. You're good.
Andy Reid doesn't win a lot of these. Yeah. It's the Kevin Stefanski's got multiple. Yes. O'Connell's got multiple.
The NFL coach of the year one is stuck deep in my craw. I just why Kyle Shanahan has never won one, but I digress.
I mean, the way that you're setting this up makes me feel like there's a tie-in to the game last night, but
really,
maybe that's not the case, because Rick Carlisle has won an NBA championship, but I don't know if he was the coach of the year.
Rick Carlisle has won an NBA coach of the year. Can you tell me what team?
Oh. Was it Indiana? Was it Dallas? Who could it have been?
Nope.
Where the hell else did he coach? I don't remember. Where else was Rick Carlisle?
It was before Dallas.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to answer that.
There's not even one team guess?
No, I got nothing on Rick Carlisle.
He won in 02 with Detroit.
Ah, yeah, who could forget Rick Carlisle coaching the Detroit Pistons?
Okay.
I mean, just glued to that back in the day. I mean, God, firm memories there. Steve Kerr would probably be the name that popped into my mind first.
Steve Kerr, that's a great guess. Didn't do it. Blew the finals in 2016.
That's
that
right.
Year.
They would have been the 73 win team was the year he was probably coach of the year.
That is correct.
And then he didn't get the benefit of the doubt when he had, you know, an unbeatable basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Mazzulla, I'm assuming didn't win it last year.
No, he did not. It was Mark Daigneault.
I mean, yeah.
Thunder did not win the title.
What's it with? This is like almost turning into like the old Sports Illustrated curse. You don't want your team to be on the cover of it in college football. I don't want my coach to be coach of the year, dude. That guy's out in the second round. Cleveland's down 0-2 this year. This seems like it's a bad trend. I'm out of guesses. How far back are we going?
We are going back to 2014. Greg Popovich and the Spurs.
Popovich, okay.
Budenholzer, Kerr, D'Antoni, Casey, Budenholzer again, Nurse, Thibodeau, Williams, Brown, Daigneault, and we'll see what happens with Kenny Atkinson.
Down 0-2.
As the Cleveland Cavaliers, who had a remarkable year, are now down 0-2. Here's a fun fact for you as I knob-block my way through some stats here.
You got this one. Easy throw to first.
Only five teams in NBA history rallied to win a series after losing the first two at home.
Doesn't happen very often, because you got to go on the road now. They're without, three of their key guys out of the lineup last night. That one is going to be very emotionally hard to overcome. They had no business losing that game.
I don't know how they lost it.
They led the entire, I mean, they're up by 17 at the end of the first quarter. Indiana came out of the gate flat. Cleveland was on fire. You got the vintage Donovan Mitchell performance that you desperately needed to carry you offensively. He got to the free throw line a ton. Like, he was a dominant force last night.
He's also super gassed at the end. And
he
as
was.
Great as he was.
Ended up having some turnovers and, you
and
know, offense
fouls.
Yes.
Like, he kind of, he kind of wet the bed a little bit at the very, very end, but I can't blame everything on him because
he had 48 points and 9 assists and 5 rebounds. And without him offensively, and especially considering who they were without in the starting lineup, that's a game, though, that you win 99.9 times out of 100 in that situation. When you're up by 7 with under a minute to go, it's insane because Indiana literally just did this, what was it, last week against Milwaukee. So they know how to figure this stuff out. They know how to come back in these games. They don't ever give up. And as it's happening, you're almost thinking, all right, this is getting a little tight and uncomfortable, and then it just another play unravels, and then there's a turnover, and then you can't inbounds the ball, or they miss 2 free throws, but then they get the putback dunk on. Like, everything that needed to go wrong for Cleveland went wrong in order for Indiana to win this game.
Here was the radio call by both Cleveland and Indiana. Let's start with the losers. Here is the Cleveland radio call of Halliburton's step-back three that he hit with 1.1 left on the clock to give the Pacers the lead.
Halliburton missed the second, but the rebound's grabbed by Halliburton. Halliburton brings it out front. Indiana can play for the tie or the win. Halliburton, 2 on the clock, 3, got it! 1.1 to go, Cavs down 1. Strus into Merrill, half-court shot blocked. And Indiana has won this game in unbelievable, stunning fashion.
That's the Cavs radio call. Let's go to the other side where Halliburton got his own rebound.
4 seconds to go. Halliburton for 3. 3 ball up top. Indiana by 1. 1 and 1/10 seconds to go. Inbound. Merrill didn't get it off. And this rivals the Milwaukee finish.
You have got to be kidding me.
I love that we have on both sides, you've got to be kidding me.
That was sad tissues followed by happy tissues in the outcome of the game last night.
You know, it's fascinating. I don't know where you'd want to go on which side. Cleveland having the season they had. I was called a casual yesterday by somebody in my orbit.
Oh.
On a conversation I was having about these playoffs, how they've taken on a March Madness vibe. Kenny Atkinson gave his thoughts. I want to get to that on the other side. That player who hit that shot, responding to something that came out at the very end of the regular season, and since he has been totally in the right, and we need to go back and redo that player poll, because, my God, have you motivated that man? And just the madness that has been the NBA playoffs, the Warriors, they just go into Minnesota and thump Minnesota.
Steph Curry. Steph Curry plays 13 minutes.
Played 13 minutes.
Who cares? See you later.
No big deal.
And we just dominated the entire basketball game. So we all saw coming.
We got to talk about that as well. So there's a lot going on in the NBA playoffs. Let's get to it next.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Would you care to guess how many points in the paint the Pacers had in the fourth quarter?
Well, they scored, what, 36, I think, in the fourth quarter?
Correctamundo.
How many of them came in the paint? I'll guess 24.
You're very close, 26.
26, yeah.
Can you tell me any time in your life where a team has scored 26 points in the paint in the fourth quarter?
No.
Exactly.
Can't think of many times.
Not since maybe Shaq.
What would be more frustrating for you guys? I guess the collective is the answer here. If this was us, if that was Portland last night,
gacking
we had
away a
64-win season.
Yep.
We blew game one. We were shorthanded, and we blew a 20-point lead. If that's us, what's pissing you off a little more than the other stuff? The free throw not boxing out
multiple times.
Or the not being able to inbound the basketball.
Not boxing out on the free throw.
Yeah, because that's just effort. I mean, allowing a how many times do you see putback dunks on a missed free throw?
Did the Neesmith putback, did he have a violation there? Because he
was
looked
close.
Like he was close to the free throw
line. It was close,
line.
But there, still, you, like a putback in the NBA, that's just
you can call
beat.
A lane violation on nearly every free throw attempt.
No, I know. I'm just asking.
Especially after a highlight like that. Like, you're not going to, let's swallow the whistle on that one. Then they had
just
to check and see if it was
highlight?
In the cylinder. And they're like, no, it wasn't in the cylinder. He just wedged Donovan Mitchell to the ground. And then that led to the offensive foul the very next inbound. As somebody who watched his team lose a Final Four game, not boxing out. It's pretty rough.
Here was Kenny Atkinson, coach of the year, on the Cavs blowing a 7-point lead in the last minute.
Love how they competed. I love how they fought. You know, down two all-stars, DeAndre. We outplayed them for most of the game. We ran out of gas. We couldn't really separate ourselves. We couldn't get open in the half court.
My only regret, Dan, is not playing more guys.
You know, we shortened the rotation, obviously. That could have been, that's, you know, my sole regret. But I loved how we competed. We played our basketball, our identity. Just, you know, tough one.
Very tough one there. As he let you know there.
Hey, you know it's a tough one when you blow a 20-point lead and series should be tied 1-1. You didn't have three starters.
I was at the Hops game, and so I looked down. I saw the starting lineup, and it was Wade, Jerome, and...
Yeah, their sixth man was in the starting lineup.
And I started having just the Rick Pitino... I'm playing four white guys.
I got
and an
white
Egyptian.
Guy.
This is what you're left with. You got not that many choices here.
Got Jerome and Wade in my lineup.
Nice little depth bench players, but now you're leaning on them in the starting lineup. It's a little bit different.
Well, before the season had ended, The Athletic did a player poll, an anonymous one at that, and Tyrese Haliburton was voted as the most overrated player in the NBA by his peers.
He was.
And this has not since aged well. He had those Bucks. He had those Bucks games in that series. Obviously, his dad became a bit of a talking point, and now he's had back-to-back games against Cleveland. Yesterday, he was being basically outshined by Donovan.
Yeah, the entire
90%
game.
Of the way.
Yeah, Donovan Mitchell was clearly the best player on the floor yesterday.
And then when it mattered the most, Haliburton went all Sam Cassell on us. My wife said, "What kind of what does that mean? What he's doing?" I said, balls. Big balls. And she thought that was pretty funny. Here was Haliburton on the crowd chanting overrated at him during this game.
That one was unexpected. I didn't know we had beef, but yeah, I guess that
I mean, good for them, man. That came out of nowhere, but it's just I think now that that label's there, they're all, that's what it's going to be every time we play somebody. Every time on the road, he'll probably follow me until the next poll comes out, and then we'll see if I'm number one again. But, you know, for me, I just control what I can, man. And, yeah, I mean, overrate that.
Karl-Anthony Towns, Tyrese Halliburton. We don't know their real voice. It changes all the time.
Every time he does an interview, he sounds completely
different.
Sometimes
high pitch, sometimes super low.
Like, where did that come from? Look, you're still overrated, okay? Player poll wasn't
wrong. He's not.
You had a big shot. Congrats on hitting a big shot.
We have to say this. You don't have to like him. He's not overrated.
He averaged 17 a game in the Milwaukee series.
Yeah.
I mean,
did he hit big shots in big moments?
Shot 26% from three in the series.
Look, there's a little bit of this with Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray has not been a sensational regular season player. But when it matters,
yeah, he's good.
Jamal Murray has largely delivered for the Denver Nuggets. So I was talking about this because I don't know what to make of it. We like to have a lot of fun on the show about basketball dirt, right? And so far, you're off to a nice little start here. And
feeling
you're
great.
Off betting.
Feeling fantastic.
But what I was talking with Gundy, and we're hoping to have Gundy on next week during the draft lottery show. I was talking with him of just like, I've kind of, as a fan, felt like the regular season is a little, it's becoming a little overrated.
Yeah.
Not in the, it doesn't, you don't need to watch or I'm not going to watch anymore. You can get people who half watch basketball and they'll make predictions and they'll be better predictions than the people who did watch basketball. And we'll see what the Thunder do today in responding to their game one loss. But I just don't know how you equate for some of this stuff. That last night with that game in Minnesota, it's the first time in league history that round has started with all four road teams winning the first game.
It's an insane start to the second round of the playoffs.
So, like, you can say, because Gundy was like, oh, people who thought Wolves in five are casuals. And I'm like, yo, I have League Pass. I watched the NBA. I just thought it's a bad matchup.
Yeah.
And his thing is, I took the Wolves too, but it's, you know, the pedigree, all that, yada, yada, yada. So I took a little bit of an exception to that, but I see where he's coming from, I guess, to a certain extent. But I think the playoffs has actually been more March Madness than traditional NBA playoffs. And so I'm sitting here going, everything I've seen and watched, that Cav team is awesome.
Yeah.
And I know they were missing Garland and Mobley and Hunter. They were up 20. They were 7 with a minute left. You can't lose that game. I'm watching Minnesota just throw up all over themselves at home as Steph Curry plays 13 minutes. And it doesn't matter because Draymond Green has 4
yeah.
First half threes.
Just out of nowhere.
So
like, a guy who you leave open the entire game.
It's not that the regular season doesn't matter at all. We could still end up having a lot of chalk at the end.
Sure.
It's that at this point, I have no other view than to just go into every single game now from here on out and say, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe the Knicks do go up 2-0. Who am I to say it won't happen?
Yeah, I mean, on the Halliburton note, he's not overrated, probably isn't the right word. But I also like just pulling up his playoff game logs in his career. He has 2 30-point playoff games in his career. Now, he's not been in the NBA that long. They haven't been in the playoffs.
Do you measure it by total points?
I mean, I'm not saying he can't hit a big shot, but I just like the Jamal Murray comparison is almost a little unfair to me to Jamal Murray. Like, Jamal Murray's had times where he's had 50-point games, 40-point games, where he's like, he carried the team all night.
Who's the second best player for the Pacers? If Halliburton's the first, who do you think is the second?
Probably Siakam.
Okay.
I would say. I mean, I think you could debate if Siakam's the best player on their team.
And
to
Jamal Murray's teammate is?
I mean, it's Jokic. I'm not comparing the running mate. That's why Jamal Murray has a championship. I'm not saying Tyrese Halliburton's overrated because he hasn't won a title. I don't watch him as this dominant force come playoff time. And Jamal Murray has had incredible runs in the playoffs where he's had back-to-back-to-back-to-back like 35-point games where he's just gone on absolute heaters. And Tyrese Halliburton's only done it twice in his entire playoff career.
So should I do a poll question? Who is the better player, Murray or Halliburton?
Yeah, you can fire that off.
Really?
I mean, that's not even close in my mind, but I'll be curious to see where people vote on.
Wow.
Like, he gets more favorable defensive matchups. There's no doubt about that. But Jokic is also a big, so it's not like you're taking away a primary guard defender to guard Jokic. He's a big is going to guard him. On the other note, though, like I do think there's almost a cautionary tale to me that ties back here locally.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that when you're a team who doesn't have maybe championship aspirations isn't the right word, but you're basically kind of a little engine that could, that you're working hard night in and night out throughout the course of the regular season. The reality of the NBA 82-game slate is that you're going to get teams who, A, take a night off mm-hmm. because they just don't care. They're on the second of a back-to-back. They partied last night. Hey, we were in L.A. or we were in New York last night. Now we're in town. We don't really care about being here. We're going to half-ass it. You're just going to have nights like that in the regular season. You're going to have nights where teams are sitting star players. That happened a lot to Portland this year. And if you're just a team that plays hard the majority of the time in the regular season,
you win.
You're going to win a sure. handful of games that, like, that's the better team, but you just outworked them tonight. The difference is, come playoff time, that doesn't happen. You can't just outwork a team in the NBA playoffs. Talent usually wins out.
Yeah.
Not always, but usually. And so I do think sometimes you get this misleading read occasionally on the regular season where you feel a certain way about a team. But when push comes to shove and it comes down to a 7-game series where I know everything that you're going to do, I know every strength you have, every weakness you have, we're only game planning for you. We don't have a game tomorrow night in Denver or a game tomorrow night in San Antonio. It's you for 7 straight games. It just is such a completely different ball game. The March Madness comp, I think, is perfect. Now we got to wait and see how the rest of these series go.
Yes.
Like, one win, I know Indiana's up 2-0.
Yeah.
One win is great. I think it's an awesome start to the second round. For all we know, Minnesota could win 4 in a row. OKC could win 4
Imagine
in a row.
Imagine
Boston
York wins
could win
tonight.
4 in a row.
Imagine, though, coming
I'm
into
rooting for it to happen.
Same here.
I want Denver to win tonight, same. And I want New York to win tonight. I love the chaos.
I talked so much S to a friend of mine who's a diehard Knicks fan. They won game one. He goes, I know you guys saw that Knicks game. I'm rooting for myself to be way wrong because I can't imagine the panic that will set in Boston, Massachusetts if the Celtics are down 2-0 to the Knicks.
Yeah.
And Jaylen Brown's hurt.
Jaylen Brown's banged up.
Pull questions up. Who's the better player, Murray or Halliburton? You talk about what happened in the regular season and two teams. Boy, what happened in Minnesota last night?
Jesus, man. That was ugly.
Mr. Trash Talk. Care to show up for the first half of a game?
Where are you at, MJ? Are we not going to play? Like, that was a horrible watch last night.
A unpredictable result, given everything that happened, especially with an injury and how that injury might linger to impact one of the teams. We'll talk about that next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. It is 6:49 on The Fan. We got a lot to get to in the second hour. I've got a football segment.
Hell yeah, brother.
We have trade in the NFL.
We did this morning. Woke up.
It is now official.
Flipped my phone on, and I'm like, oh, look at that. Something to talk about in the NFL. Thank you, Jesus.
I got a college football segment right up Dirt's alley.
Yes, sir.
Is this team back?
Oh, we got a back team.
Is there a dark horse we should gamble on now in college football?
Ooh, I like what you're doing here.
And is Oregon the new this in college football?
Ooh.
Boy, look at me.
The new national champions. Yeah, we are Wolf National Champions. Thank you for honoring us.
The
parade is soon.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Rings and parade. It's going to happen.
Your coach did win a big award yesterday.
He did. Like
the
Gene
Stallings Award.
I don't know what that is. Like Coach of the Year kind of thing?
No,
what is it?
Him and his wife were awarded the Gene Stallings Award for on and off the field contributions.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Here's a big shiny trophy.
Nice.
There you go.
Last
night in Minnesota, I don't know quite what happened. But I do know that it was something that I did not see. Yo!
God.
Jeez.
Easy, Ant.
No kidding.
Dude, 11 points in a quarter in an NBA playoff game should almost be an automatic eliminator.
The game should be done.
Just end it.
Over.
Like, that's like a skunk rule. Like
the run rule.
Go home.
Yeah.
You scored 11 points in an NBA quarter.
Clearly, you're an NBA team. Ready to play this game.
With everybody healthy.
So,
and you scored 11 points in the second quarter.
There's a lot here. The Warriors just seemingly are now the Spurs and Bulls. Every role guy they get that's good becomes even better. Hey, Andrew Wiggins, been nothing but a bust. Going to be the key figure for us winning a championship. Yeah. Gary Payton II, projected by nobody to be a good NBA player.
No.
Hey, look at that. Big defensive stopper, key threes in big moments. Hey, Buddy Hield, you can shoot it, but you don't shoot it when you're in Philadelphia. Now you shoot it all the time and you make it. Something about them that annoys me, and I hate when there's certain teams that they just, and I know some, it's Curry, man. He's Jordan. It's like, that's not it. That's not the answer. But damn it, it does happen a lot.
I mean, he played 13 minutes last night, and they won the game in incredibly like easy fashion.
Going away fashion.
Going away fashion.
I think they got cut to 8 at one point, but like, it was like, okay, there's another 3.
Yeah, they would always respond whenever it came relatively close. I had the dual screen going, mostly watching hockey at that point because it was a 2-2 game in the third period, and you're like, all right, they cut it to 9. All right, there's a Golden State bucket to respond. Like, that's the funny part. We did this kind of with Jokic when they won Game 7 in Denver against the Clippers. And you read the stat line and said, if I told you that on Friday, what would your response be? And I'd say, well, there's no chance Denver's going to win that game. But they did. All the role players had really good performances. And if you would have told me yesterday on the show, hey, Steph Curry's going to leave the game after 13 minutes with a hamstring injury, what do you think the final score is in Game 1? Say they probably lose by 15 to 17 points.
Yeah.
Like, no, I maybe they cover, but no chance in hell they're going to win the game, let alone control the game the entire way. Minnesota had a horrible second quarter. They couldn't hit the broadside of a barn to save their life. And then Golden State came out hot in the third. Even when Minnesota woke up a little bit offensively, they matched them point for point, and they still outscored them in the third. And so you get that level of production from multiple guys to pick up the slack from what you lost with Curry. I don't know how the rest of the series goes, but that was a if I'm a Minnesota Timberwolves fan, I'm depressed today. That was a like really bad way to lose a game. It's one thing to be competitive back and forth and somebody goes for 40 or 50. They scored 31 points in the first half of a playoff game. 31 points in the first half of a game.
Yeah. 88 total.
88 total.
I mean, 88 like, in a game is even awful.
At least they went for 29-28 in the third and fourth quarter, but like 31 in the first. How many times that happened in the history of the NBA playoffs? You got to go back to when there were plumbers in the league to find 31
well, no,
and a half.
I think there were some of those like Bulls-Jazz finals when it was awful.
They were not very high school. Yeah, that's the thing.
I know,
that.
31 though is like, 86. That's college. That's bad for college basketball.
Swag's right.
86-78 in game 3
with like
or
4 minutes to go. Like that's the score with 4 minutes to go. I just, in rewatching the first half because I saw the second half, I think I'm just blown away as how lifeless they
just
looked.
Didn't show up. They
and
didn't
I'm
seem
like,
to care.
You cannot be shirtless on a couch saying, who am I scared of now? I want the Warriors.
And then have no juice when it...
No juice at all. Here was Charles Barkley saying how I'm a big Ant guy. So this kind of pissed me off. Here's Charles Barkley after the Timberwolves lose.
First of all, you bought all this smoke. You said you wanted to smoke. I want the Warriors. And you got him. You had 1 point at halftime, and his energy level was down. So that, to me, is what coaching's about. I mean, Shaq's been in this situation. I've been in this situation. When you're the man, you get all the credit, but you get all the blame. That's the way it works. And I like what he did. He said, hey, Anthony's got to play better. You can't come out and talk all that noise and have 1 point.
Yeah, here is his coach basically said, everything about us has to do with Ant and the energy and the effort he puts in. And we didn't have it to start the game. Here was Anthony Edwards responding to his coach's comment.
Nah. I feel like I played great defense. I just couldn't do nothing offense, so.
Thanks for that in-depth answer.
I mean, dude, you cannot have all these quotes.
This happens. You run your mouth. You put a target on your back.
You do. Look, and I'm okay with it. I like athletes largely are cocky. Some of them are just loud cocky, and others are, like, quietly cocky. Duncan was quietly cocky.
Yeah.
But when you're loud cocky and you say what you say, ain't nobody in the league stopping me. What am I scared of now? Oh, bring it on. I want them. 1 point in the first half?
I mean, it's embarrassing. Couldn't make a shot to save his life and just had no life offensive.
Most of his stats are stat padding garbage.
At the end of the game.
Honestly.
Yeah, when you're down by 20 in the second half. By the way, so I looked it up. We're going to need to fact check this. So I was just curious, can I find the lowest scoring NBA playoff game for a team in the first half?
Sure.
And that, according to StatMuse, was the fifth lowest scoring first half in playoff history. All the other games have happened since 2016.
Wow.
So I don't know. Maybe this is just, I don't know if it's a recent. So the Suns in 2022 against Dallas was 27 points. That's the lowest. Celtics had a game against Atlanta in 2016 where they scored 28. The Mavs last year against the Clippers had a game where they scored 30 in the first half. The Raptors had a game in 2017 where they scored 30 in the first half against the Bucks, and then that game last night, Minnesota scored 31 in the first half against Golden State.
Now, it should be noted, Curry left 13 minutes he's got a hamstring strain, and Kerr basically made it sound like Steph was super bummed, which tells me definitely not playing game two.
Yeah, you get the little bit of extra rest. I think you sit him game two, you got 2 days, and then the travel day bonus going back to Golden State.
Yeah, but hamstrings are not something you test.
It's finicky.
No.
You got to be confident, because the minute you test it, it could pull, it could rip. I don't know what to make of this, because, again, every prediction I've had about every game feels like it's been wrong. But it's hard to believe, as bad as Minnesota was, it's hard to believe that Golden State's going to be able to win without Steph.
Yeah, I don't see that happening at all. That reminded me, honestly, the funny thing is Minnesota's already had a game like this in the playoffs. They did it in Game 2 in L.A.
Yes, they did.
They just completely no-showed in the first quarter. They steal Game 1. They're dominant. They come out in Game 2. They were outscored by 20 in the first quarter. And then they outplayed L.A. the rest of the game, but it didn't matter because they couldn't dig themselves out of that hole. They scored 15 points in the first quarter of Game 2, and that was the only game of that series that they lost. So I'm not writing any of these teams off that lost the first game of the series. It's just more of a, like, where's the energy? Where's the life, man? You're in the second round of the playoffs. You're taking on Steph. You're taking on Golden State. And just a no-show that way, incredibly frustrating. But Minnesota's done this, and they've responded, and I think they'll do it again in this series.
We have a lot to get to in the second hour. We'll roll on with some NBA playoff chatter. I got a college football segment to get to. Our ticker guest is at 7:30, Ryan Stiles, who does Locked On Ryland Stiles. That's what I said. Why don't you listen better, Riggins? Ryland.
How about those Woyos last night?
Yep.
Hell of a game for them.
Everybody get their bowl of Woyos this morning?
Did you eat your Woyos?
I did not get my Woyos.
No Woyos this morning?
Can we be honest? Cranky. I was thinking about this, and sometimes I don't know why I think of these things. If I was to make a cereal called the Woyos, it'd be Seth Curry on the box and not Steph.
It would have to be. It would have to be. It's like the knockout.
Like
Steph. Hey, what? Yeah. Is that a Curry? Wait, who? What? That's
Woyos.
They're the ones that come in the bag, not the box.
Yes, it's a knockoff brand, the cheap one.
There's a Wheaties box with Steph as a champ. Woyos in the bag, Woyos
right next to it. I once led the NBA in 3-point field goal percentage. Did you know that?
I'm an all-time Blazer. Yeah.
Are you? Took four a game, but man, oh man, I shot almost 50%.
So we'll talk with Ryland Stiles of Locked On Thunder at 7:30. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, and of course, YouTube.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
I'm Tyson Acha here with my co-host.
Investigators Later.
We host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.